Lord.
Previously in Aphon Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, David says he still wants to marry Pippa even if it's not in church. But unable to accept that, she insisted they must stop seeing each other. Meanwhile, she told Pamela about Anna, a nurse she'd known at Buckland Hospital and now the priest's carer.
"The divorce is one thing," Pippa said, "but as you know, getting married in church is something else." Then she blurted out, "I think we should stop seeing each other."
"Pippa,"
he protested, but she wouldn't let him finish. "It's no use, David. I couldn't bear to go on seeing you, becoming more attached every day, knowing it could come to nothing."
"But you're going to be seeing me every day at school."
"I know, and that will be bad enough. But we've got to stop getting closer and closer, and you know that's what's happening. And there's no point." She burst into tears and positively fled from the room. He heard her bedroom door slam shut. David was left sitting, stunned. He knew there was no point in arguing until she calmed down. He decided the best thing to do was leave her alone to think, and safer to talk about it later when they'd both had time to think and were calmer. Meantime, he would respect her wishes. As she was drying her eyes in the bedroom, she heard the outside door close quietly. She knew David had gone, and the tears returned in full flood. Monday was the first day of the new school year. Pippa made sure she behaved as she always had in front of others, giving David a polite nod and smile. He made no attempt to contact her all that week, but went ahead with contacting the solicitor for information about divorce procedures. Neil Grayson came round his desk to greet David with a warm handshake. He was a tall man with attractively grizzled grey hair. Even David's best three-piece navy blue suit felt shabby compared to the flawlessly tailored light grey pinstriped suit, almost perfectly matching his hair, that the solicitor was wearing. He indicated the high-backed leather chair in front of the desk for David, and while returning to his own side of the desk, said,
"I'm really sorry to be acting for a friend in a matter like this."
"Friend?"
David thought.
"I haven't heard a word from you since Gloria left. And if I remember correctly, it was your time to entertain us."
But that thought only lasted a split second before David was saying lamely,
"Well, these things happen, don't they? And it's easier talking to someone who isn't a complete stranger."
"True. And it shouldn't be too complicated with Gloria being willing to take the blame. I can't help wondering if the Major knows that he's been named as co-respondent."
"Oh, I'm quite sure she would tell him. Which makes it sound as though they've planned this together. He must want to marry her."
I dare say. Oh, by the way, I'm glad you're both being represented by the firm. It makes things so much easier with Colin and I can exchange notes. So everything should go smoothly, with as little pain as possible. Or none at all."
Although David's thoughts were,
"I don't care how smoothly it goes, I doubt there will be no pain,"
he replied politely.
"Yes, you're probably right. How long do you think all this will take?"
"Well, the first step will be the decree nisi in a few months, and it should all be finalised, possibly a year later."
"As long as that?"
I am afraid so. The wheels of the law grind slowly. Are you hoping to remarry, David?
He asked in his most friendly voice.
No, it doesn't seem to be too much hope of that.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But time will tell.
David smiled blandly, and they got on with the business of filling in forms. When all the necessary signatures were complete, and David sat staring at the last form he had signed, Neil again came round, and this time placed a hand on David's shoulder.
Well done, David. Oh, don't hesitate to call me if you have any further questions.
That was clearly the signal for David to leave. He stood and once more accepted Neil's outstretched hand, saying,
Oh, thank you, Neil. I hope I'll hear from you soon.
He was desperate to talk this over with Pippa, but was determined to wait out the separation she had imposed on them. Certain it would not be long before she phoned to talk about something, anything, in her life. But weeks passed and he heard nothing from her. He hadn't been to the pictures since they had parted that Sunday, and the polite smiles and nods between them in public were torture. David's phone rang one Saturday morning several weeks later, and his heart skipped a beat, certain it was Pippa at last. Grabbing the phone, he said brightly,
Well, hello there.
Grayson here.
Oh, I didn't think you worked on a Saturday.
Oh, I don't as a rule, but I needed to catch up with some work that's been pouring in recently. Oh, and I thought you'd like to know, I haven't been able to contact Gloria at the address she gave you. Nor with Major William Marsden at the same barracks. Both letters came back unopened, with return to sender stamp on them. Colin had the same experience, although Gloria had asked him to act on her behalf. We don't know her rank, so possibly Mrs. David Mackey on the address didn't ring any bells with some pipsqueak of a lance corporal in the mailroom. Come to think of it, she may even have reverted to her maiden name. And if the Major has been transferred, well, they wouldn't tell me that, of course. For all we know, she might have been transferred with him. I'm sorry I haven't any better news for you, David. I just didn't want you to think I hadn't done anything at all.
I see.
And the solicitor could hear him slowly exhaling sadly.
Well, thanks for letting me know, Neil. I don't see what else we can do.
I'll try contacting the CO and explaining the importance of these letters.
Yes, it's often better going to the man at the top.
Righto. I'll dictate a letter on Monday and I'll let you know the minute I hear anything.
Sounds like the best thing to do. Perhaps the only thing you can do. Look, thanks, and I hope I'll hear from you soon.
As soon as it's possible. Chin up, David. Bye.
Bye.
David hung up slowly and plumped himself down with a cup of coffee at the kitchen table. The separation had brought him down low enough, but this latest news was the last straw. Again, he desperately wanted to talk to Pippa about it. But what would be the use? Even if the divorce had gone smoothly, she still wouldn't marry him outside the church. If only Craig didn't live at home, he'd have phoned him, being the nearest person to Pippa he could talk to. He knew her son saw his side of things. So did Pamela, Irene and John, for that matter. They'd made that clear on the Father Dempsey confrontation day. That gave him an idea, and he went to midday mass at their church the next day. Sure enough, Irene and John were there. They were ahead of him on the way out. He avoided shaking the priest's hand and dodging round others in the queue. He sprinted down the driveway after them.
Irene, John,
he shouted, catching glances from other parishioners. They stopped and turned round, puzzled by who could be calling them. "Good heavens!" said Irene as David approached with outstretched hand, which she ignored and gave him a big hug instead.
"I missed you too, and Craig."
"No need to. You're welcome any time," Irene assured him. "We've missed you too," added John. "No need to stay away just because you two aren't seeing each other. Which, by the way, we think is ridiculous." Irene almost spat out the words as she took his arm and walked him towards the exit gate, John joining them on David's other side.
Thank you.